The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to talk about a wonderful divorce attorney in Illinois. Her name is Erin Burt, and she's been practicing divorce law since 2003. And for years, Erin felt like so many of her clients were lost in the litigation world, a process they thought was their best option. So in 2010, Erin decided to completely shift gears to settling divorce cases via mediation. She's known for being creative, caring, and a role model in the divorce industry. I just love Erin, and I want to also say she's a certified drug and alcohol counselor and parenting coordinator. If you want to learn more about Erin, you can find her on her website at burtlaw.com. I also want to take a minute and mention a wonderful dating coach. So if you're new to the dating world after divorce and you've never online dated or you're really intimidated by it, I would highly recommend working with online dating coach and personal stylist, Alyssa Dineen. Alyssa is wonderful. She wrote a best-selling book. She's done online dating herself. She did it for 7 years until she met the love of her life. Alyssa is really authentic. She's the real deal. If you want to find out more about Alyssa, you can find her at stylemyprofilenyc.com. And you can find both Alyssa and Erin in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. How do you end a marriage with someone you love? I think this is probably one of the hardest things somebody has to do. It is emotional. It's complicated. It can feel scary. It can make you feel guilty. And especially if you still have love for the person. So that's what I want to talk about today. I have a great guest for this. And she wrote an amazing article for Divorced Girl Smiling. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And her name is Brittany Baker. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Jackie.
Brittany, I love this article. Before we get started on talking about it, I want to tell my listeners a little bit about your background. Brittany is an LCSW. She's a therapy. She's the founder of her practice, Nix Baker Wellness and Therapy. And Brittany works with couples, adults, and teens during hard, stressful times, which include divorce. And Brittany has been a therapist for 10 years, and she draws from a lot of different modalities to create personalized, individualized treatment plans for each of her clients. So, Brittany, I'm serious. I want to tell my listeners before we started the podcast, I was telling Brittany I was really impressed with the article because it's a very difficult subject to write about. I mean, how do you end a marriage with someone you love? Like, where do you even start, you know? And so I want to break this down. But my first question, Brittany, before we start this is, why is this so hard? I mean, what is the hardest part about this, do you think, ending a marriage with someone you love?
Well, I think one, it's kind of defining what that love is, right? Because there's different levels in a relationship. And when you've been with anyone for any period of time, you have friendship and romantic love. And it's just, it's hard to define what that is. And then I think too, when you love someone, you don't want to hurt them. And it's not like you think that they're an evil, terrible person. But to be fair, like sometimes evil, terrible people we love too. And it's just hard because it's the heart and the brain battling each other about what's right and what's wrong.
So maybe the love has become more like you love your husband like you love your brother, but you know, the partnership aspect isn't there anymore. Or maybe the person is an addict and you love him or her, but they're just not getting help and you can't take it anymore, but you still have love. So some situations, most situations, I think it's so difficult to end a marriage no matter what.
Right. Well, and the other piece of it is I think that to have a successful marriage, like we have to wake up every morning and choose to be in that marriage. And you can have all of the love in the world, but if you aren't waking up and being mindful and choosing to be in that marriage, love is not going to sustain you in the relationship.
I couldn't agree more. I want to start with what to consider before you have the conversation. So if you're going to end your marriage, tell me what you should think about before you even start the conversation.
Well, I always encourage my clients to think about, like, what are the emotions that you're having about this decision, about the relationship, about yourself, about this other person. I really ask people to think about, like, what does your life look like after divorce, right? I also encourage people to think about, like, how are you choosing yourself in this decision? Like, sometimes people do things thinking that it's going to make the other person happier. But I encourage people to really reflect on that, the idea that that's not something that they control. So how does this impact you, and how are you choosing you? And then I also encourage people to think about, like, other considerations, like family or specifically your kids, sometimes our pets too, right? And what considerations are you making for that other person? And is that the only reason why you're staying? Because sometimes that isn't enough either.
Now, are you telling people they should write these things down? Is journaling and outlining things a good idea?
100%. There's some science behind writing things down. We process things different when we write them down, and we can see them outside of ourselves. The other thing, too, is it can act as a grounding tool. And what I mean by that is when our emotions are high, and say you're like a 10 out of a 10 anxious or sad, the front part of your brain that makes us human is not functioning at its full capacity. So the decision-making process is not great. You know, whereas if you can lower that emotion slightly, which is hard to do in an intense situation like this, you can make better decisions and think through things more clearly. And that's why journaling, I think, is really helpful, because it gives you a way to ground yourself, to kind of think outside of the emotion a little bit.
Now, you also said that this is the point where somebody might want to get a therapist, because the person can help you more clearly answer these questions, come up with your journaling outline, and understand your feelings. And why is that just so important?
Well, because we tend to, again, this is human nature, this is science, evolutionary psychology. We as human beings have a negative bias, and that can kind of force us to get stuck. We also have issues with perspective taking. This can help us to get stuck in one perspective, and then we lose sight of the other things that could or could not be true. And a good therapist will help you to step out of your own perspective and to see other positions, and to see other thoughts. And also, the thing that I find, I tend to work with high level thinkers and professionals, is that very logical, very rational individuals, they're not always great at, like, defining what their emotions are. And so, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, as we go along, it's really important to understand what you're feeling so that you can sort through the thoughts. And again, that's not everybody's really great at that skill.
I want to move on to when is the right time to end it, which is such a difficult question, because we both know there's never going to be a perfect time, right? You can find a reason not to, you don't want to have this conversation and, okay, I can't do it because his birthday's next week and I don't want to ruin his birthday, or it's the holidays. Right. And I mean, Brittany, I kind of agree. Like, you can't really divorce somebody, you know, tell somebody you want a divorce on their birthday or on Christmas Eve. Like, that is kind of true. What do you have to say about it?
Well, so what I would say, and what I find most with people who are struggling with this decision, is that they use these points in time as excuses. Like, we have a big vacation planned, or his birthday's coming up, and I'm talking to them 2 months before the birthday, right? Or I'm talking to them weeks before the vacation, and it's almost, they create these barriers for themselves to avoid having this conversation. And so what I encourage people to think about is like pain versus suffering. And this comes out of a great book that I read called I Think You Should Talk to Someone. And she talks about this idea that like pain is something that's going to exist, especially in this situation, no matter what. This is going to be a painful situation, but we create more suffering for ourselves by doing destructive behaviors like avoidance. And so whenever I'm talking to someone about when is the right time, I am challenging them to think about like, okay, so sure, maybe his birthday is in April, but it's the end of February. So what is the delay between now and then, right?
Okay. I thought you meant, you know, oh, his birthday's tomorrow. I can't do it. That's different.
Right.
But you could always find a reason not to do it. So
exactly
are you
right.
just saying like pull off the Band-Aid and that's it?
I am, but not impulsively, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, you don't want to bring this up in the middle of an argument. Like, well, I've been thinking about divorcing you. That's the worst time to try to have this really serious conversation, especially with someone that you love. But the other challenge is that if we keep creating these barriers for ourselves or finding these different points in time that, you know, oh, well, I can't do it then that's what's going to end up happening. This resentment, this contempt, this frustration, this angst is going to keep building up. And then you're going to end up being impulsive and maybe even making it to a point to where like you can't have a more peaceful divorce.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. Today, I am talking with therapist Brittany Baker, and Brittany and I are talking about how you end a marriage with someone you love. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to get into it. I mean, really into it. How do you end the marriage? What you should say and what not to say. So we'll be right back. After divorce, people want to feel good about themselves. And I talk so much about doing things to improve your emotional well-being, and that is so important. But also, sometimes when you look better and you feel like you look better, you just feel better emotionally as well. So I want to recommend Dr. Jeremy Warner. He's a plastic surgeon, and he also does fillers and Botox and all things to make you feel physically better about yourself. So if you're looking to do that, Dr. Warner is a well-known surgeon on the North Shore of Chicago. I know a lot of patients of his, and I am a patient. So I would highly recommend him. He is wonderful. The staff is so professional. He's really well-respected, well-known. And if you want to learn more about him, go to his website, which is warnerplasticsurgery.com. I also want to talk about a wonderful divorce attorney in the state of Florida. Her name is Christine DiOrio. She's a divorce attorney and an estate planning attorney. And Christine brings so much experience to the table. She is a divorced mom. Christine also has experience both as a prosecutor and a public defender. So she really knows the law. She knows her way inside and out of a courtroom. But what I love so much about Christine is that she's really dedicated to helping her clients with a really amicable approach. So she prefers mediation. She's just a wonderful, warm person who really knows the law and has so much experience. If you want to learn more about Christine, you can find her at her website, which is ChristineDiOrio.com. And you can find both Dr. Warner and Christine in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girls Smiling. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. How do you end a marriage with someone you love? That is what we're talking about today. I'm here with therapist Brittany Baker, an LCSW and the founder of Nix Baker Wellness and Therapy. So let's get into it, Brittany. Like, how do you actually do this? This is probably one of the most challenging, difficult conversations you're ever going to have. You are probably going to be nervous as hell, really sad, really guilty feeling, possibly, and your emotions are going to be escalated unbelievably. So how do you get started? What do you say?
Well, I want to say first that like, there's a couple of things that I always encourage people to think about is that again, truly accepting that this is going to be a hard conversation, truly accepting that your emotions are fair and valid and real, but they don't have to control you. And I also think that it's remembering that the other person gets to have feelings, and those are very real and valid. The other thing that I really like people to have a firm understanding of is this idea of a loving boundary. A loving boundary is where you can hear what someone is saying, but like you still hold your line, right? Because in these conversations, you can get into a debate, go back and forth about who did what. And that's really not the point of this conversation. My guess is you guys have had these conversations before, or, you know, and it hasn't gone anywhere. So this isn't a place to suit up and armor up to battle back and forth about why this is happening. It's about to set the boundary. I think the only caveat to that is that, like, if there is something like another person or something significant that you haven't talked about as a reason that, you know, and maybe even then, that's not the time to talk about it when you're setting this boundary and saying, this is my decision. Maybe it's later on if it is important.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is prepare yourself that this isn't a conversation that's going to turn into a fight, because you're done at this point. When you have this conversation, you're done. So that's what you're talking about with boundaries. Like, you don't want to be talked out of it. You're delivering the news and that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that doesn't mean, and I use that language, loving boundary, because it doesn't have to be harsh. Like, this is it. I'm done with you. It can very much be like, hey, I hear you. This is painful. Like, it's painful for me. It's painful for you. This may be surprising to the person. You know, you can empathize and validate those emotions, but that doesn't mean you have to change your decision.
So what are some of the things you can say? How do you start the conversation?
Yeah, I encourage people to, and this is why writing the feelings is really important, and really understanding what your feelings are, is because I encourage people to start there, right? We connect with other people in our lives because of our emotions, not because of just our logical thoughts. It's really about the emotions. And so I encourage people to express, like, I feel so sad and I feel so nervous having this conversation with you. This is painful. And I can only imagine how painful it may be for you. But really leaning into the, and I know it sounds like very therapy language, but the I feel this way, right? Because of whatever. Another tool, this comes from John Gottman's work, who's a relationship specialist. He talks about softened startups. And so softened startups, sometimes people think of it as placating, but it's really not. It's really starting with this idea of some sort of understanding or appreciation or gratitude or something that's kind of kind and compassionate for the other person, right? An example that I might give for this is, you know, we've spent many years together and we've shared a lot, and I love you in many ways. I feel a lot of pain of telling you that I do not want to continue this marriage. So it's this kindness, this appreciation, but then the decision and that boundary, like, this is where I'm at.
So if somebody started a conversation with me, my spouse, and said, listen, Jackie, we've spent so many years together, we've shared a lot, and I love you so much in so many ways, I'd be sitting there going, oh my gosh, here it comes, here it comes. Is that what it's designed to do?
It's not designed to necessarily give someone dread, but it's also acknowledging that it's not all bad, right? And acknowledging that, like, you are not a terrible person, that this is just a decision that we've made. And this is like kind of trying to strike a balance between what we call like a criticism and a complaint. A criticism is like, when you're bad and so I'm leaving this marriage, right? And this softened startup helps to alleviate that criticism. That being said, we don't control how other people hear or receive what we say. All we can do is do the best that we can do and do what aligns with our values and what's important to us and kind of hope for the best. But I can tell you that if you come in hot and you're criticizing someone and saying, you know, you have been so crappy to me and I'm tired of the pain of this marriage and I'm done, that is not going to be received well. And we know that for sure. But the
softness, that's going to just start a whole argument, and then everyone's going to be defensive, and then it's not going to go well. I mean, Exactly. Listen, it's not going to go well anyway when you're ending a marriage with someone. Although I really shouldn't say that. You might walk away from it and think, that didn't go as badly as I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Well, and quite honestly, that's what I would be striving for, is like, right. that didn't go as badly as I thought that it would. Or even like, I feel good, despite that being really hard, I feel really good about how I showed up for that, right?
Right.
But because it's going to be really hard and it's uncomfortable and sad and there's going to be tears and undoubtedly there is going to be defensiveness, but that doesn't mean that you have to show up ready to battle. And honestly, at that point, it's not worth it. And you've probably been battling a long time in one way or another.
All right. Now, after you do this sentence, this softened startup and the sentence, you know, about how you love the person, then you write that you're supposed to accept responsibility for your role in the relationship's challenges, mm-hmm. which that can reduce defensiveness and lead to a more productive conversation. So give me an example of that.
Yes. So typically what's going to happen is someone's going to come into this conversation, say, hey, we spent all this time together. I feel so sorry and pain. This is so much pain. I don't want to continue in this marriage. And oftentimes you'll be met with a lot of defensiveness. And that defensiveness is going to be like, well, this is your fault. You did this. What are you thinking? You're going to tear our family apart. And that's where you accept responsibility, which is really hard to do because they're not wrong, right? Like you are making a decision that will, for example, end your family as you know it. And so you have to look through the anger, look through the defensiveness and say like, well, what is my responsibility in this, right? And so maybe it is saying, you know, you're right. I know this is going to change our family and it's going to be really hard on you and me. It may be really hard on our children. It may be really hard on our dog. You know, I think the example that I gave in the blog was that, you know, they may say, well, you weren't physically affectionate with me. You did this, like, and that's where you say, you're right. That is an area that I struggle with. And
that is so important because then it's acknowledged, they're at least getting the validation that you did something wrong too. And you know,
right.
Okay. Now, another thing is, what do you do if the person tries to change your mind and talk you out of it? And I know what you're going to say, but say it.
I mean, I just encourage people to be clear and concise. And then I encourage you to empathize and to say, like, I hear what you're saying, that you feel like we could do X, Y, and Z, but that's not where I'm at. And this is my decision. And here's the thing, and this is just basics of boundaries. The boundaries are to protect you and for your mental safety and physical safety. And you don't have to over-explain them. You don't have to apologize for them. But again, the validity, the empathy, that accepting responsibility, all of these things can be done to help soften the blow, but that doesn't mean that you have to change your decision. It's a myth that we have, right? That if you validate someone or you empathize that with them, that you're agreeing with them. Validation and empathy are not agreement. They're just an understanding that I can put myself in your shoes and see your experience, but that doesn't mean you agree with their experience. So, you know, that's where I encourage people to be clear and concise, validate what they're hearing, but you don't have to pick it up and run with it.
I want to move on to a few things about what not to say when you're having this conversation. So we talked about the first one, which is criticisms. Mm-hmm. So tell me, when somebody feels criticized, they're going to become defensive. They're going to criticize you. Now things are just going to spiral into that same argument you've been having for 25 years or whatever it is, right?
Right. Just a quick note about criticisms. The difference between a criticism and a complaint. A criticism is where you're attacking a person and like their personality and who they are at their core. And a complaint is like, there are these behaviors that like, I'm just not okay with. And complaints, normal, natural, good. Criticisms are going to create those like unfair dynamics. And you may actually have criticisms about them as a human being, but now in this conversation, this specific conversation is not a time to bring it up. It's just unnecessary. So I would avoid using you language or like definitive language, like always and never, or jumping to like negative judgments or assumptions. The thing that I just encourage you people to keep in mind is that this conversation is not about hashing out why this is happening. The majority of time, you've done this, right? You've been to therapy together. You've had these conversations and nothing's changed. So there's no reason to pull out the list of this is why I'm leaving you.
Well, what I want to say to my listeners, I love what you're saying, Brittany, because If somebody's listening to this and they're planning on doing this, having this conversation, of course you have a ton of criticisms. You've probably had all this resentment for many years, and this is a long time coming. But when you're actually breaking up, ending the relationship, you don't need to say these things. We are so past that. Remember your goal. So what I want to tell my listeners is, remember what the goal of this is. It isn't to hurt your ex. It isn't to try to get back together. You might be thinking, he's never even listened to me anyway. So it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter. Your goal of this conversation is to move forward with the divorce.
That's right. I actually really appreciate that, because that's a point where a therapist could really help you to understand what is your goal. Because if your goal is to shock somebody's system so that they take action, this isn't the conversation that you should be having.
Absolutely. Next thing not to say is, you wrote, don't over-explain. What does that mean?
So that means that you are, again, probably pulling out this list of reasons, or you're coming up with excuses for yourself, or saying like, you know, there's, I feel this way and I feel this way and I feel this way and my mom sees you this. Like, again, you guys have probably had these conversations over and over and over again, especially if it's someone that you love, because my guess is you've tried to save the marriage if it's someone that you love. There just doesn't need to be this ongoing, like, 7-hour conversation about this, unless it's a very goal-directed problem-solving conversation of like, okay, are we going to see a mediator or a divorce lawyer? What are we going to do? How are we going to talk to the kids? Again, my guess is that that's not going to happen in this conversation, but this, you don't need to over-explain yourself. Whenever we over-explain ourselves, we kind of invalidate our boundary.
Next point, don't become defensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, becoming defensive. So in some of the examples that I used earlier, right, where you're like, hey, I want to end this marriage. And your spouse is like, well, this is your fault. You've done this. You've done this. And then you turn around and then you start going, well, you did this and you did this. Or sometimes that even looks like shutting down. Defensiveness can look like shutting down or rolling your eyes or whatever it may be. That is only going to derail this conversation and turn it into this, that fight that you said, that, you know, that 25-year-old fight that you've already been having.
Well, I just want to tell my listeners, if you're thinking of having this conversation, be prepared for being criticized, blamed, be prepared for name calling, be prepared for a lot of yelling, be prepared for crying, be prepared for shock. Even if you and your spouse have been having these arguments for years, when somebody tells the other person they want a divorce, it's shocking. Yes. So be prepared that they might be shocked, even though you're like, why are you shocked? Mm-hmm. It might be shocking because some people really just never expected it, no matter what.
Right. And the other thing I would say about that is, be prepared for your own feelings. I think that sometimes I will hear people say, I expected him to fight for me, right? Or I expected them to do X, Y, and Z. You don't control what they do. Drop those expectations. You don't control what they feel. Drop those expectations. But have acceptance that these things could happen and be mindful of how you want to respond to that. Not react, respond.
I love that you brought that up, because I feel like some people have this conversation and they're hoping that their ex is going to say like, oh my gosh, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. And then they don't. And then the person's so disappointed. And then they're devastated. And then they start to second guess. Do I really want the divorce? He didn't even care. You know, so really, really try to recognize your own feelings, like Brittany said, really. Oh my gosh, what a wonderful conversation and so helpful for people. So I just want to close and tell my listeners that Brittany's article, at the end of the article, and if you want to read it, you can go to divorcegirlsmiling.com. And she said that this conversation requires a lot of bravery, honesty, vulnerability, and self-regulation. And love is an important aspect of a relationship, but there are many other elements that keep it healthy and afloat. So you might really love your spouse, but you're not doing something wrong if you feel you need to have this conversation.
100%. Love is a great foundation, and I think our culture puts a lot of emphasis on it. And obviously having love in your marriage is important. But if you don't wake up every day and choose each other, or there's not this willingness to continue to grow together and work on your relationship, then it's going to be hard for it to work out.
Brittany, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Jackie. It's always enjoyable.
And I loved everything you said. I just think you gave some wonderful advice. Tell my listeners where they can find you if they want to have a consult with you or go to therapy with you. Where can they find you?
Sure. The best and probably easiest way to get a hold of me is through my website, and that's Nix, N-I-X, BakerWellness.com.
And you can also find Brittany in the Trusted Professional section of Divorce Girl Smiling, along with so many other wonderful, vetted, trusted divorce professionals. And if you want to listen to more podcasts or read articles or download my mobile app or sign up for my free consult, you can come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.